So, my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what was once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in a new way of the Spirit, and not the old way of the written code. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law, for I would have not known what coveting really was if the law had not said, "Do not covet." And then verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. It is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know from nothing good that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but 'tis the sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law in my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Amen.
If I carry on, I'm going to end up doing a really bad French accent and get in trouble. But Vanessa's been getting really excited about today's service and next week's service. And so have I. This afternoon we came and we watched the film, and I cried like a baby at least five times. Me and Vanessa just sat there. She was trying to do her schoolwork as well, and we just kept nudging each other. Oh, look, that's and new stuff as well. Every time I watch the film, I cry like a baby, and the same stuff all the time. But actually, I keep seeing more and more, as Vanessa's already said, more and more of God, of the gospel, of the difference between law and grace. And so we were nudging each other all the way through, and I go, "Oh, that's Jesus." And "Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it?" And "That's communion." "Oh, it is communion, isn't it?" So we're really excited about tonight. And so, Rachel, you're Vanessa, aren't you? Vanessa chose this passage from Romans 7, and Paul sometimes can be really straightforward and really to the point, and sometimes he can get really deep in his theology, and this the whole chapter is really deep. But it's headed in my version, New International Version, release from the law, bound to Christ. And Paul, like all of us as Christians and human beings, is constantly wrestling with this within him. As we know, Paul was a Pharisee. Paul knew the law inside out. And a little bit like we'll find out in a minute about Javert, it was his life. It was everything for him. It was his whole being was the law. He was a Pharisee. It wasn't just a job for him. It was his life. And so he was obsessed with the Jewish law. And when the law was first given, it was there to help the Jewish people to live a good life. The Ten Commandments are quite straightforward. They're to help you in society and not to do things you shouldn't do. And then more and more laws were added. And it was there to help the people to live a good life. And the law still today, I looked it up on the way here, what law means, and it's a set of rules that we live by as society so that we have a good society, a civil society, and if you break certain laws, and then there's punishment for it. Hopefully then you won't break the laws again. And that's where Paul found himself in the Jewish system. And as we talked this morning, if you're here, we talked about Jesus being a once and for all sacrifice, taking over the old sacrificial system that the Jewish people had. Once a year they would come, there would be a sacrifice done by the priest. They would be sprinkled with the blood and they would have their sins forgiven once a year. But they'd have to keep coming back, and the priest would have to keep doing the sacrifices. And Jesus come, a once and for all sacrifice that everyone might find forgiveness. And we call that grace. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Did I get it right? God's riches at Christ's expense. Free, undeserved gift. Hopefully you're all going to get lots of free, undeserved gifts at Christmas, no matter how naughty you are. And believe you me, I know I will have been very naughty. But I will still get my gifts. Free, undeserved gift of Jesus. Once and for all. He was the ultimate sacrifice. And that's what Paul is wrestling with in this passage from Romans. He knows that. He knows that probably more than most of the Christians has ever been. Because he was a Pharisee. His entire life was the law. He met Jesus, who asked him, "Why are you persecuting me?" Jesus offered him grace, God's riches, at his expense. And he accepted that gift. And he accepted it with excitement and with love. And it just filled his life and it completely changed his life. And then all of a sudden now his life is about grace. Read the Acts of the Apostles. He's received Jesus. He's changed his life. And all he can do is to live in that and to share it with others. But as you know and I know, as Christians, there's still a battle going on within us. There's the battle of the law. Those things that we still perhaps hang on to, those things that we believe, maybe those things that we think about God that are not really true. And they're pulling us back to the law. But the grace is pulling us this way, saying, come to the grace, come to the grace. And Paul talks about that. Talks about the fact that, don't know about you, I get up in the morning, I'm just not going to be self-righteous today. And within 3 seconds, somebody's upset me or somebody's just done something very naughty, like jumping that red light, and I'm quite self-righteous now. There's that within you. You're going, I don't want to do those things, but I do them. And I hope that the grace will help me not to do them. And so that's what Paul is talking about in his complicated way. That it's that pull between our sinful nature, those laws that we've made up in our lives, that stop us receiving all the grace he wants to pour out upon us. And then those moments in our day when grace just comes and grace fills us and we realize we can be forgiven and that we can live differently. And that every time we fall down, we can get back up because of Jesus. And so that's what Romans 7 is saying to us. And we see this so clearly in Javert's life. We hear halfway through the film that he was actually born in prison. We assume, I haven't read the book, apparently it's 50. It's a big book apparently and there's no pictures. I want to read it one day, but I know I'm going to have to take a couple of weeks at least. 1600 pages, not words. 1600 pages, I can read 1500 words. But right in there, it seems like his mother was in prison and he was born in prison. He says, he admits to Valjean that he was born in prison. When Valjean's saying to him, I was unfairly done. I just stole some bread to help feed my sister's son. And I spent 19 years in prison. The law's not fair. And he's saying, I was born in prison. And he actually says to him, I'm scum like you. I'm gutter scum like you. But Javert is convinced beyond all doubt that he is doing the right thing. If you look at the words of Stars, he's comparing his life to Valjean's life. And it's like the Pharisees. It's like everything that Jesus says to the Pharisees is there in Javert's life. He feels, he knows, he's doing the right thing. He's doing God's will. And God's will is the law. And if you break the law, you're a sinner. And you need to be punished. And you're not going to heaven. He talks about Valjean, and he says, there out in the darkness, a fugitive running, fallen from God, fallen from grace. And he doesn't see, and he can't see, that actually it's the opposite for Valjean. And we'll talk about that next week. That actually he knows that he's sinned. He knows that he's done wrong. He knows that he's been punished. And he's trying to spend the rest of his life being redeemed. And the ironic twist is that Valjean is the one who's the grace receiver and the grace giver. But he thinks he isn't. Out in the darkness, a fugitive running, fallen from grace. And Javert's life is obsessed now. His life is all about the law. Every minute of the day he must think about it. And it's about catching the criminals. And it's about throwing them in jail. And it's about punishing them because they're sinners and they're going to hell. But I'm going to heaven because I'm doing what God wants me to do, even though he can't see it's not what God wants him to do. And he suddenly becomes so focused on Valjean that it takes over his life. And he sings in this song, but mine is the way of the Lord. Those who follow the path of the righteous shall have their reward. He's convinced that this is the right way to live. And then near the end he sings, and so it must be, for it is written on the doorway to paradise that those who falter and those who fall must pay the price. You've got it wrong again. You've got it wrong. The way to paradise is grace. It's grace. It's a free, undeserved gift. In John's Gospel, right at the beginning, he talks about Jesus coming and he is grace upon grace. It's as much grace as you can get. As much grace as you need is found in Christ. He's driven by the law. He can't think of anything else. Valjean becomes a focus. It becomes like a drug, an addiction to him, a way of life. And the more that things happen, the more it just entrenches him in where he is. He cannot see the grace that's there, the grace that Valjean keeps offering him and offering him and offering him. I think I might have told you this before, but I'll tell it again. We went to see the film, we went to see the musical in Bradford, and Hannah's boyfriend, Jack Kemp, and I've got a lot of time for Jack, he's a lovely man, and he looks after my daughter, so that's great. And so we were walking away, and it was the first time he'd seen it, and I said, what did you think? I'm like, oh, I'm really excited, tears everywhere and all sorts, I'm emotionally like walking through Bradford, like, whoa. Full of grace and all sorts and Jesus and everything. And we're walking along. I said, what do you think to the film? What did you think to the show? He said, it were all right. I said, what do you think it's about? He says, I don't know. There's a lot of singing and a lot of, you know, don't know. It seems all right. It's all right. I said, well, come on, fella. I mean, this is life-changing stuff. Can't you see it? Well, no. Well, can't you see, you know, Javert is... He's just, his life is like, and I just basically what I've just said to you, I just told him it with real passion, walking through the middle of Bradford. And he just turned around and he went, well, he just needs to get some work-life balance, doesn't he? And I looked at him and I went, work-life balance? What are you chatting about? Work-life balance? His life's a mess. Work-life balance ain't going to help him. He needs to sort his life out. He needs to realise. And it's hard to realise. I mean, I think, just thinking back to my life, actually, not quite the same. But actually, thinking about before I became a Christian, I had it all sorted. I had my values. I had the ways that I knew I lived my life. And a lot of those values had come from my dad, from the area I lived in. You know, we were a dog-eat-dog world. You know, it was a selfish world. I remember when me and Anne got married, and then I just constantly just be going, I'm going out. Where are you going? Well, I'm going out. I'm just going out. Where are you going? What time are you going to be back? I'm going out. And that's how I lived my life. Just went out. I'm going out. Mum, see you. Bye. Come back for tea. No, bye. Live my life in a completely different way and come to Christ. And my life begins to change. Because I realise some of those old ways are wrong. Jesus came to bring grace. To bring grace. And I wonder whether we always live in that grace. Do we live our life in the grace of Jesus? Or maybe sometimes do we live in something similar to the law? Something similar to the way perhaps Paul lived his life, Javert lived his life. And do we sometimes move between the two? Let's think about that for a minute, about our life. Do we sometimes live by laws that perhaps we've inherited, that we've picked up from society? The way that we think about life and we think about others and we think about ourselves that aren't actually about grace, that stop us receiving more of Jesus. Like Javert, everything he believed has stopped him receiving from God through Valjean. So let's just think about that for a minute. I just want us to show quite a tough scene in the film. So I'll just give you a little heads up here. And this is, it's always a difficult one for me. And it's where Javert's been offered grace again from Valjean. I think he's offered him at least twice. The first time is when he's cornered him, when he's captured, and he says, "Can I have him? I basically says to everybody else on the barricades, "I'm going to kill him." And he walks round the back and has a chance to kill him, and he doesn't, and he lets him go. And Javert is going, what's going on here? And this isn't how I live my life. This isn't how I normally work with other people. And there's another, I can't quite remember, there's another moment when again, Valjean offers him grace, an opportunity to change. And he's really struggling with this. He's tormented now, is Javert. He's tormented. And this is the song, the other song. We'll watch this. We find him stood on the bridge, contemplating taking his own life. But you can see through the words and you could see through what he's doing. There's law here. And there's grace here. And he's fighting the two. And if he feels he's got to choose one or the other. And so let's watch this. And the words are on the sheet as well. And within me is saying, you don't have to choose that. You don't have to stick to the law. There's grace being offered. Grace is being offered. There is another way for you. You could turn to that grace. You could turn to God. And your life could be changed. And halfway through the lyrics, he said, and my thoughts fly apart. Can this man be believed? Shall his sins be forgiven? Shall his crimes be reprieved? And in the scene before, he lets him go, he forgives him, he lets him go, he doesn't kill him, he has a chance to kill him, and then he escapes through the sewers with Marius. And then at the end, he realizes where he is, and he confronts him. And Javert's got the gun. And Valjean just says to him, give me 2 more hours, and I'm going to give myself in. He's going to give himself in. Javert can send him back to prison. He can fulfill the law. And he couldn't even do that. Shall his crimes be reprieved? And I don't know about you, but I often meet people who are on the edge between law and grace. Law and grace. And I do my best in my own bumbling way to offer them grace. And this can change your life because it's changed my life. And often they start to get it sometimes and then walk away back to their old life, full of laws, full of the way they live their life. Sometimes they completely reject it. Sometimes they accept it. And I watch their lives being changed, and it's a beautiful thing to watch. And we're sometimes between grace and law. Sometimes not perhaps contemplating suicide. But maybe we're having the moment, a crisis in our life where we've got a choice between what we believe and what we think that's wrong. And grace that can change our thinking. Change our ways, change our life. And we have those moments to choose. And which way are we going to do? Which way are we going to go? So just, I was thinking this afternoon, what are some of those laws? And I don't know what they are for you. I'm going to throw a few ideas out. And then we're going to have a moment's silence for you to think about maybe what it is that holds you back in your life. Maybe some thinking, some thoughts, some ideas about yourself, about life, about God. I'll throw a few of my thoughts out and then you add your own if you want, and we'll have a moment's silence. And then I want to speak some words of grace to you. These are some of the things I've heard people say. God cannot forgive me. God doesn't love me. God cannot save me. God cannot change me. I'm not good enough to be a Christian. God doesn't hear my prayers. God allowed that thing, whatever it is, to happen to me. God doesn't care about me. God hates me because of what I've done. God has given up on me like other people have. God has left me. He isn't walking with me. God can't take my shame away. God cannot take my fear away. God doesn't understand. Let's just sit for a moment, and maybe that one of those chimes with you, and just sit with that and offer that to God. Or maybe it's something else in your life that's like a law that's holding you back. Let's just sit for a moment.